Okay, good work. Mitzvah Shabbos, Parshas Matzah, Masah, Shalom Vorchim Av. Kumlan Lavat Gemara. We are up to the Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page. We're learning about Bris Mila, and we were learning the last thing is if you're allowed to do all the necessary things for a Bris on Shabbos, and you're allowed to put even a special Band-Aid on it and use cumin. And you, if you didn't do it before Shabbos, do it on Shabbos, but try to make it with a shinui. And then we talk about scrambling wine and oil together, some kind of a potion. You should have done that on Shabbos. Otherwise, on Shabbos, you should just put them on separately. And now, then we learned the last thing is about putting a special, had a special sleeve that they were put onto it. You shouldn't create that on Shabbos because it's like you're making a keli, but rather you should do it before Shabbos. If you don't have one, you put a little shmata around it. Otherwise, if you didn't bring one, you wrap it around your finger or your hand and you bring it to the house. So, says the Gemara, V'nois, you place a shmata on it if you didn't bring that chaluk, that special sleeve. Amar Abaye said, Amar Li'aim. Abaye didn't have a parent. He was a yosim. He grew up in the house of his teacher, Rabba. Some say Abaye's real name was Nachmeni, and therefore they couldn't call him by the name Nachmeni. Because Abba's father's name is Nachmeni, so that's why he gave him the name Abaye. And some say Abaye is the word Avi, my father, and therefore he's trying to say, I can't say his name, but he has the same name as my father. Others say it's the Shtevus of a Pasuk. The Rosh Hashanah helps out you same him. But bottom line is he had a nursing mother. So this mother obviously was a very intelligent woman, this woman who raised him as well, and she taught him a lot of things about life. She said, Omra li aim, my mother told me, is Belisinu de Kulo Kivi, the best kind of Band-Aid that you should put on for any kind of aches, is Shev Menoi Tarba, there should be seven parts of wax, of fats, and the Chod Kira, and one thing of wax. Rav Amar Rav says, you don't need that, Kira, just wax, V'Kalba de Rishana, and Rav says that you don't need wax, all you need is a Kalba Rishina, that is like the sap of a tree. And you mix the two together, and that works as a perfect salve. Rava revealed the secret in Mechuzah that you use this kind of a salve, and it heals any ache that you have. Kareinu b'nei ben yume asya lemanayu. The family of doctors, they rent their clothes because they thought they're out of business now, because Rava gave out the secret of the medicine. Which I still don't understand why a few days ago we had Shmuel refuse to let Avlate know that the sun is therapeutic one day a year, kept it a secret. Over here at least it makes sense because they lost their panasa and they were worried. Anyway, Amaluhu Rabba said, guys, don't worry. I have a secret that I'll tell you that I didn't tell anybody else. And it's printed in the Gemara of Kuflam Yom Beis. Shavki l'kul choda, I left one secret only for you. The Amar Shmuel, who's the doctor, said, Hayman de Moshe Api, if somebody washes their face, for loy nogiv tuva, and then dry his hands properly, is nikturulei, he will then have a growing on his face, chas panisa. He'll have a breakout on his face. Or he'll have all kinds of, like a shchin. And maitakante, and what's the only antidote for that? Limshi tuva b'mayda silka. You'd borscht, beetroot juice, and you wash it thoroughly a lot, that helps out. Okay, he says, L'shochak me'erev Shabbos, if you did not crush, let's say, the cumin, on Friday, so then, oisin labiyamte, sorry, if you didn't crush it on Erev Shabbos, so then you have no breda. Then you do it on Shabbos, but you make a shini. You chew it with your teeth and so on and so forth. So we learned, Dvorim Shein Oysen Lubba Shabbos, things which you now do to Bris on Shabbos, Oysen Lubba Yomtev, but nevertheless on Yomtev, you can do it. What are they? Shoichin La, you're allowed to grind cumin, V'toyfin La Yayin V'shem, you're allowed to scramble this wine and oil together on Yomtev. Amalei Abaye Lab Yaseh Maishna Kimun Be Yomtev, why talk you allowed to crush this kimun on Yom Tov, because the Chazuk Deda, let's say, because there is another application that is permitted on Yom Tov, let's say you want to use it for cooking. You're allowed to crush cumin if you want to use it for cooking. So therefore, you're also allowed to use it for medicine. If that's the svada, then yayin v'shemen, or wine and oil, chazinam v'shabbos, l'chayilas on Shabbos, you should be able to scramble it as well. Since if a person is sick, you're allowed to make this mixture of wine and oil, so you should also be able to do it for bris. How do you know you can do for somebody? I say, Gitan, you learned. Ain't tofin. One opinion says, ain't tofin. You're not going to scramble together wine and oil for a sick person on Shabbos. Because when you scramble together, it looks like it's only awesome that I've done anyway on Shabbos to scramble, let's say, eggs or wine and oil, because it looks like you're preparing something for cooking. It's only awesome as a it's not kind of the same being allowed to do it. But Rabbi Meir says, Shimon Lazar says, after even Yai B'Shemen, you can do it for a chayla on Shabbos. Since the Meir holds you can do it for a chayla on Shabbos, so you should be able to do it also for a bris. And especially the author of our Mishnah is a Meir. Shimon Lazar Pamachas once happened, Chosha Meir Meir, he once had problems with his digestion, and will be kashnu lito le yam shemen. We thought the best antidote would be to take this wine oil and scramble together, but le nachnu, he didn't allow us. Amanu le dvarecha, yivatlu b'chayecha, you, the one who said you're allowed to, and you're going to cancel your own words while you're alive. Amaloni told us, afa pishanay mekach, I say this, but m'chaveilai oy mekach, when my friends are more machmir, and they said no. So therefore I want you to know that le kuli al-mashari, I never went against the words of my friends. And even though, since they are machmir, even though in theory I hold you allowed to, I never went against the words of my friends. It's like Rabbi Yossi said before, that he always followed what his friends told him. If they would have told me to go duchen, I would have done that as well. Niu the machmir nafshei, so Rabbi Meir Taka was machmir for himself. Ablokli amashari, but he maintained that everyone else is allowed to. And since our mission is Rabbi Meir, means you're allowed to scramble wine and oil for a sick person, so why can't you do it for a bris as well? Why does it say if you didn't do it before Shabbos, you have to apply the oil on its own and the wine on its own? It says Gemara, hosam leboi lika. Over there by a sick person, when you scramble, you don't have to do it very strongly. You can just put a little bit together and give a bit of a mix. So therefore, there's no real Issa Rabbanon involved. Over here by a bris, you have to really scramble it a lot. And therefore, that's awesome with the Rabbanon. That's why even a Meir would hold it by a bris, you shouldn't do that. Says the Gemara, so why do you say they keep them separate? Okay, tell them you can scramble, but not proper scrambling, just mix a little bit. That's exactly what the Mishnah means. When Mishnah says noisin zed bifnei atzmer, zed bifnei atzmer, it doesn't mean literally you do each one separately. You can mix them together, but not very strongly. Tell me, we learned ein misanenin as a chardul b'misanen shloy. You're not allowed to take mustard seeds. You know, mustard seeds grow and have the husk. You're not allowed to put them in a sieve and let the mustard seeds filter through, because that's mamish like boiter. Now it's not really boiter, as explained, because the husk is also edible. Boiter is only from food and not food, from good and bad. This is both good, but still it looks like boiter is forbidden. So it says you're not allowed to do mustard, but ve'im mamtikin oisa begachelas. Nor it seems that they used to put a burning coal inside a whole bunch of mustard seeds and maybe sweeten them or something. It had some kind of a positive effect. You know, I'll do that on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Why is this any different from what now? We learned, you're allowed to put an egg. They used to put a raw egg through the sieve of mustard, and the yolk would come through, and the yolk then would make the mustard bright yellow. So why could you put the egg through the sieve and you can't put the mustard itself through the sieve? Amalei says, Hasam did by the case of the egg, le merzike boiter. It doesn't look like you are being boiter. Why not? Because after the egg goes through it, the yolk goes through it, the white goes through it. So boiter is only when you keep the two separate. Here, you don't keep them separate. They just come in one at a time, but they both come out eventually. So there's no boiter here. But over here, merzike boiter. Here, you leave behind the husk and only this comes through and it looks like boiter. The aim of matkinoise begachelis, and you're not and you do not use the coal to sweeten it out. Well, Tanya learned in the Braise, matkinoise begachelis, you are permitted to use coal by mustard on Yom Tov. Like Kasha, can begachelis from matkin coal made out of metal, there's no problem. Can begachelis relates if it's coal made out of wood, there's a problem. Why? Because the mustard. That's that. If you put a coal there, the mustard is going to eventually extinguish this the coal made out of wood. In other words, by the metal coal, you make it red hot. So even though it might cool it down, it doesn't turn into a piece of coal. So there's no real issur. By saying it over here, wood becomes coal. So that becomes like a burning out It's like a melacha tzicha legufa. When you extinguish it, if you want it for its own benefit, it becomes asr. So from here you see that you're allowed to, if it's a tzadr achir, okay, omle hasam le mechzik keboid, how mechzik keboid, sorry, I skipped, so we say, gachel shem matzik, kam bechel shem leitz. Omle bai rabbi Yosef, ma yishno me bisra gumra, why is, so you're telling me you cannot do the mustard with the coal because it's extinguishing the coal. So what? You're allowed to roast meat on coal, even on Yom Tov, and even though the liquid that comes out of the meat is going to extinguish some of the coal, and that's not a problem. You have not possible, here is possible. That when you can roast the meat yesterday, it won't be fresh, it won't be good. So you have no breda. But mustard you could have made yesterday. So we see that you're allowed to extinguish fire on Yom Tov if it's L'tzoydech Achille. And that's why in certain exceptions, Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to, we don't lower the fire because you can move the food off the fire, but certain exceptions, you're allowed to tamper with the fire on Yom Tov to make it lower. Can you make cheese on Yom Tov? So Rabbi Yisrael said, Maishnam Melisha, isn't it like kneading, bringing things together? Before in the Gemara we had that it's Baina, that it's like Binyan, and here we're saying that also this it borders on the malacha of Lisha, doesn't it border? That you're kneading things together. So same thing here, but when it comes to kneading, let's say dough, we say you're not allowed to, even though it's preparation of food, you could have done it before Yom Tov. Here, you couldn't have done it before Yom Tov. So the Gemara, so cheese you could have done before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to. When it comes to kneading for bread, you have to have fresh bread, you're allowed to on Yom Tov. So the Gemara, what do you mean you couldn't have done cheese before Yom Tov? Cheese a day old, in other words, made today, is also good. Is good. So what do you mean you could have done it before? So he said, it didn't mean it's good, it means also good. I feel like also good, but really it's better if it's older, especially if cheese aged. So you could have done it yesterday. There's no excuse to do anything today what you could have done yesterday, even on Yom Tov. There's machlek is whether it's the Raisim, the Rabban Asr, when you could have done it before Yom Tov. But nevertheless, there's no excuse to do it on today if you could have done it before Yom Tov. Okay, now we're going to learn a bunch of remedies or ideas from Abaya's nursing mothers. We don't make this, I make this particular sleeve that they used to make for by the bris, for the member to make sure it heals. And the idea wasn't, it goes tight over the thing so that it shouldn't grow back. We don't want the pri, after the pri, the skin should grow back. My mother said to me, I cholub the yinuka, this particular cholub that they use for this child, lefunel, lesitra, leloi. You have to make sure that that the stitching, because the stitching has some thread sticking out, is not sticking out towards the where the bris is, but away from it. Make it above it. Why? Because the skin, if you make it where the stitches are, where next to the where the bris was, and it gets sticky, and the strings get sticky. Dilma midbrik gardemane. If you then give it a pull, yank it off, you want to take it off, the string is attached to some of the skin and gives a pull, and chas v'shalom can make the child a krus shavcha. That is, that the Torah is not allowed to, but also unable to procreate. Again, he continues. Again, we're saying Abai's mother, but we don't mean Abai's mother, it means his nursing mother. Of the Kisasna Lepalgo, what she would do is she offered her time, because a lot of people didn't know that, and they endangered their kids, and they used to ruin their kids' abilities to procreate. So she used to make a normal, let's say, shirt or sleeve or something else with stitching, but then she made an inner, like an inner lining that would put inside, and that would prevent it from getting stuck to the male member. If let's say a yinuk does not have this particular sleeve, and what you do is laisi, is blisa, he should bring a shmata, the isle sifsa that has these stitches at the end, but the karcha, the shifsa, the tatoi, make sure the stitches are downward, facing down, the ayif laloi, and fold over the top. So that again, that's not, that the strings that are attached are not close to the where the bris was. But Abaye, talking about little babies, obviously his nursing mother had a lot of experience. So she told him the following. My nursing mother told me, For some reason or another, you cannot see the child's rectum. What do you do? The shayfa mishcha, so you smear some oil, v'lukmel hadayim, and put it out there by the sun. V'heicha dezig, and we see that it looks like a glass, and it looks shiny, is lekare, you have to rip it open, that means it didn't open up yet, the anus. Is b'sa'arta, you use a barley, shasiva, a very pointed barley, and you stick it inside, and that somehow or another, it opens up, pricks it, and opens up the hole. But don't use a metal piece, mishum dezarif. Don't use a metal piece because it can ruin it. and it can cause it to swell. This child, that doesn't seem to be interested in nursing, you should know that make a ducker because it's cold. And its lips are cold and doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the strength to suck. Is what you do, put in his mouth. My take on what's the solution. Lay say, kasa gumri, bring up a cup full of ashes. The link it lahade pume and bring it next to its mouth. The chai is pume umayitz. That the mouth should warm up and then it shall have the strength to be able to nurse. Or by only aim, hayinuka, this child, lemanashte, that you cannot recognize that is breathing, is lenafe benafse, go ahead and blow with like bellows or fans. Umanashta, you'll see, you'll start breathing again. This child that you don't see the heart palpitations is what you do is lase, bring slisa the ime, bring the like the placenta of the mother of Elisharkele and smear it on it, or and you use it to smooth over the child. Umaave, and then you'll see suddenly everything, the heart will start beating properly again. Or by Amli, aim Hayanuka, the cotton, this child that looks extremely small or very thin. Lysil, silsa, the ime, bring this placenta, really sharky, and then you, it's like a zgulu, you rub it over the child. Mikutna luma, one side of it is very narrow and one side of it is very wide. So you take from the narrow side and you go towards the wide side when you go, so therefore it makes the child, opens the child up, but it should become wider again. More like a zgula. The alim, what happens the other way around? What happens if the child looks overblown? Not because it's a big child, but it looks like it's swollen or something. In ma'umulakatna, take the same thing, the placenta, but this time go from the larger end and work your way to the smaller end. This child, the insubik, that is very rare, the katila, yulubidama, the child extremely rare when it's born, which means that the blood hasn't really settled throughout the entire body. Is what should you do? Is lisachale, you should actually wait and delay the breeze. Add the evil beidama till the blood settled, and then v'limuli malahim. What about the yore? What about if the baby is yellow, jaundiced? Like katilo enough, but and the blood hasn't settled yet either. Literally wait. I don't know if beidama v'limuli malahim. Big machleik is a paskin. You know, when a baby's sick, entirely sick, you have to then, after it gets well, you have to wait 7 days be'ais la'ais. In other words, if I got to recuperate 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the doctors declare the baby is healthy, then 7 days, you know, 8 days later, 2 o'clock in the afternoon is when you can do the bris. Whether if a child is jaundiced, you also have to wait 7 days, or you can mala straight away. I once went overseas, a bossy shachal afonai, a woman came to me, shemola b'norishin v'meis, she's a circumcised the first child and he died. Well, Shane even made second child died as well. Shlishi heavy osalfanai, and she brought me a third child. The Isiv I saw, she ordered it's all red. On Michael, I said to her, Hamtini loy, wait, Achi Yivla by Dome till the blood settles. Hamtini loy, she waited, Achi Yivla by Dome, the blood settled. Umola oisai. And what? And then she circumcised the child. She circumcised the child. The Hoya Koyin oisai, Nosan Habavli al Shmi. They called him Nosan Habavli on me, because I saved her child. I came to a place called Kupatkaya, mentioned a number of times in Gemara. The same thing happened. A woman came to me, Shemola ben Orishan, Vameis, Shani, Vameis, Shlishi, the third child of Yosel Fadi brought for me, Reisi, I saw Shuyarek, it's jaundiced. He tzatzdi boy. I gave a look, Vladisi boy, Dambris. And I looked and I saw that there was no blood there. If we make a bris, there'd be no blood. Wait until the blood settles. And actually says there's two issues here. Number one is the sakana for the baby. Number two, part of the mitzvah of a bris is that blood should come out. But there's no blood there to come out. She waited, the mola says circumcised him, lived, Nosan Habavli al Shmi. So in other words, they didn't just call him Nosan. They called him Nosan Habavli with the nickname and the last name and everything else, which is interesting. Says the Mishnah. Next Mishnah, we think we can learn about these dinim that you're allowed to do on Shabbos and Yom Tov for a child. Marchitin as a cotton, you're allowed to bathe the child. Bein lifne hamila, they used to bathe the child before the mila because it used to give strength to the child. Ubein la'achra mila, whether after the mila. Now, not clearly ever talking about water that was prepared before Shabbos. Water prepared for Shabbos on Shabbos, and I'll take a bath with the Rabbanon. We learned earlier the reason is in Pedekira. Because the people used to heat the water up on Shabbos and claim that it was done Friday, so that Rabbanan made a gzeda. We're talking about even you can bathe it on Shabbos because it's a sakana. And it's saying beside before Mila and after the Mila, you're allowed to heat the water up on Shabbos and Yom Tov because it's a sakana. Umezalfin olav biyad. But then the Mishnah says, and you sprinkle the water on him by hand, which l'chayda seems to be a stira. You start off saying marchitzin, you're allowed to bathe the child, and then you tell me that you can only sprinkle it. I'm going to explain. I will lay bekli, but not to use a utensil. You're allowed to bathe the child by Yom HaShlishi on the third day, Shecholis B'Shabbos. Not only on the day of the breeze, but also on the third day you're allowed to. Why? Shenemar says, by he by Yom HaShlishi, by Shimon Levi there, and Shechem, on the third day, by Yosem Koivim, they were in pain, they went and destroyed the whole city. So we see the third day also they're in pain. Does that mean that the second day is automatically included, or it means only the first and third, but the second day is not so much in pain? But androgynous, what about androgynous? Androgynous has both simonim, male and female. Ein mechalin olav the Shabbos. We'll see, we learn from a pasuk that it has to be arla soy, only if there's only an arla, and therefore you don't mala. But Rabbi Yehuda says, mate be androgynous. Himal yimal, any case, even an androgynous. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, I don't understand. But Amrish, first you start out saying, machitzin, you can bathe, Rabbi Yehuda, and then you say, only you sprinkling. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Baravur, they both learn the Mishnah the following way. The Amri Tavai, they say, this is how you learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Tanakhama says you're allowed to bathe the child. Is the Mishnah telling you, what do we mean by bathing the child? Keitzad. Add the word Keitzad. How? To me, the Mishnah says before and after, you're allowed to bathe Keitzad Mezalfin Ola Biyad. It means sprinkling. Avaloi Bekli, but not with a vessel. So the Mishnah therefore says that according to their pshat, Rabbi Nazayir is arguing on 2 points. On day number 3, the Tanakhama holds you can't do anything, and he says you can. On day number 1, the Tanakhama says you can only sprinkle with hot water, and he says you can even bathe in hot water. So it's two machlekes. Rav disagrees. I'm a Rav of a machitzin. The fact is, the Mishnah says bathing, and he tells me, and the Mishnah eliminates the word mazalfin, it wouldn't have used the word machitzin. We wash the child before and after. Tanakhama agrees, Rabbi Lazar and Tanakhama both agree on the first day you can bathe and do everything properly. They're arguing on Yom HaShlishi. The Tanakhama also holds Yom HaShlishi there in pain, but not to the same extent. So he holds a Yom HaShlishi only mezalfin sprinkling. Mezalfin olav biyad avlo bekli. Tanakhama holds you can also sprinkle, but that's it. And Rabbi Lazar and Machitzin as a cotton. Rabbi Lazar says that Machitzin as a cotton Yom HaShlishi b'shchol b'Shabbos. And so he b'Shlishi b'Yisum koyvin. Says the Gemara. So according to the Rav, they're only arguing on the third day, and the first day they all agree. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi, actually the Brahis like Rabbi, Machitzin HaKotten, you can obey the cotton bang leaf name Mila Banachamila, but Yom Marishan Kedak, the first day normally. Uviyem HaShlishi Shecholi B'Shabbos Mezalfin Ola B'Yad, you sprinkle. And it says clearly the first day you can do whatever you can do, you can bathe the child, even according to Tanakhama. And Elazariah Machitzin HaKotten HaShlishi Shecholi B'Shabbos, Afa Pishan, I love Zechad, I don't have no necessary, I don't have clear proof, but I have some kind of allusion to it. And then it says, but Yibam Shishi, here's a Koyvim. And then going back to the Tanakhama, when he said on the third day you can sprinkle, even sprinkling, don't use a cup or a plate, not a vessel, only by hand. And these words also the Tanakhama refer back to the Tanakhama, because you can even bathe. My afa pisha ein ra'i l'dov zeicha dov. What does he mean when he said, I don't have conclusive proof, but I have a zeicha? Mishem the god l'solik bisra. He said, no, like we're talking about adults. By an adult, l'solik bisra here. By adult, it doesn't grow back so quickly, the skin, and therefore it's very painful. Of a cotton, solid by bisra here. By a little child, it grows back very quickly. I would ask the kamed rava, a person was came before rava, Oidu like Yishmaitis, or rather Paskin like his ruling, that on the first day, according to everybody, you're allowed to bathe yourself. Ichli Shirava, and the Rebbe became very sick. Omar, he decided that why did I become sick? It must be a punishment because I ruled like my pshat, rather than Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Bavu, who says that on the first day, the Tanakhama holds you're still not allowed to bathe, you're only allowed to sprinkle. Omar, he says, maybe the reason why I became sick is ano bahade targimna de savi, that with the interpretation of these older people, what I mix in for? I shouldn't have argued with them. So interesting, he got sick, he right away decided that it's a punishment for something that he did wrong. A braisa clearly supports you, so what are you worried about? Amaluhu, he said, true, the Rai supports me, but the Mishnah actually reads better according to them. Masnisin kavasayudek, the Mishnah actually reads better if you follow them. How do I know? Said, Marchitzin es hakot. Look at the words of Isaiah. The way I learned, everyone agrees the first day. There's no discussion about the first day. The only discussion is about the third day. Tanakama holds sprinkling and he holds bathing. But according to them, they're arguing on both days. The first day, Tanakama holds limits to sprinkling days, and the Blazai says no bathing. And the third day, the Tanakama holds you can't do anything, and the Blazai holds you can bathe. So the Mishnah said, the Blazai says you can bathe the child on the third day. If you learn like me, then the Shuddha says you also bathe the child on the third day. No, not only am I arguing with you on the first day that you can bathe the child, I hold even the third day. 2 points. But the way the Mishnah reads sounds like on the first day we're not arguing. We all agree that you can bathe. My only argument is on the third day, which sounds more like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Ravu. If you tell me the Tanakhama holds, like you can never bathe a child. You sprinkle. Therefore he says, he uses the word, you wash, bathe. The Tanakhama agrees on the first day you bathe, and sprinkling is only on the third day. So the wording in the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Lozaya says you bathe, he should have said, af machitzin beboiler, you also bathe on the third day. You agree that the first day you bathe, I'm telling you that you also do on the third day. Now that you could bathe on the third day regardless. They had a question in Najisro. When you say that you're allowed to bathe, you're allowed to bathe the first day and the third day, what does it mean allowed to bathe? Is it only that particular region where the bris was, or the entire body? Did you mean that the entire body you can bathe even the moment you can't, but in the case of a baby you can, or only the region where the bris took place? Says the Gemara, "I'm the Homer Rabbanu Yakushmei." One of the Rabbanu said, "His name is Rabbi Yaakov." Mistabra hachotz is called good for definitely the entire body. The Isak adatach even say hachotz is milah, that the only part you're allowed to bathe is the bris milah. Only part, and the Tanakhama holds that you're not allowed to bathe the bris milah. Mi gora mechamin agabi maka. Why should this be worse than a guy? Forget about a baby with a bris milah. Anybody that has a wound. And anybody has a wound, the Rav says that you're allowed to pour hot water on this wound on Shabbos. So why should a baby the bris be any worse? So must be talking about here something totally different. We're talking about bathing the entire body. Because over here they ask the third day of Tanakhama, and even the first day according to Rav Avu, you can't. So therefore must be that we're talking about the kogufay. Why should be any worse than hot water on a wound? You do not deny someone pouring hot water and oil on his wound. B'Shabbos, Maskel Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael asked the question. I don't understand your Raya from Rav. When the Rav was talking about putting hot water on your wound on Shabbos, he was talking about water that was heated up on Friday. And he says that even though it's exhaled that abundant, but because you're sick, you have a wound, you're allowed to pour water on it. We're talking about in our Mishnah here on Shabbos proper that you're allowed to heat up water to bathe. Water that was heated up today to bathe. So that is a very different story. Nothing to do with Rav. and therefore maybe it's only in the region of the Bris. Mask Rabbi Yosef, there's no difference here when we're hot water heat up on Shabbos versus Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Dimi said, you made an assumption here that our Mishnah is talking about hot water, that you're allowed to even heat up water on Shabbos for the child that just had a bris. Maybe talking the Mishnah is talking about water. Of course you're not allowed to heat up water on Shabbos. Talk about water heated up before Shabbos. So the whole Issa is on Issa the Rabbanan. And for the bris, you're allowed to. But Rav says everybody's allowed to if you have a wound. So must be talking about the entire body. How do you know that we're talking about here on, that even water heated up on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Omer Abaye, Ano Boy. When I heard this question, I wanted the Shanile, I wanted to jump in and answer straight away Rav Dimi, because this question is not a good question. But the Kodam Vishadu Rabbi Yosef, unfortunately, my Rebbe gazumped me and he gave the answer first. Interesting. Why Abaye felt the need to say that? Rabbi Yosef, Menesha Sakona Hiloi. Here we're talking about, there's a Sakona. Our Mishnah therefore is talking about the babies in Sakana. Surely we're talking about Yelati heat of water on Shabbos. And below the holds that even on the third day, and Sakana holds only on the first day. So therefore we're talking about something totally different in the case of Rav. Itmanami, we also learned Yosrav Rabbi Bain Chamin Shahuchma Bishabis, Bain Bechamin Shahuchma Me'er Shabbos, doesn't matter when the word heats up before Shabbos or on Shabbos. Bein harchotz is kol gufa, even bathing the entire goof. Bein harchotz is milut, neshes hakoni, leshes hakoni. Nothing to do with the case of Rav about if you have a wound that you're allowed to pour some hot water on it. And in fact, now that you mentioned Rav, raise Rav, we'll talk about Rav a little bit. Gufa, let us analyze this. You don't stop someone from pouring hot water and oil. And Tesis explains to him that it's mixed together. Because oil will be raining before you're allowed to smear oil. Remember, because everyone's been named Malach, and so on. And if you're allowed to, even rose oil. So it must be talking about mixing oil and wine together. So he says you're allowed to mix hot water and oil and pour it on a makkah on Shabbos. And what's the problem? Because anything you do an antidote on Shabbos, which is obvious you're doing it for medicinal purposes, there's a gzeda that says shchikas amonim, which is you're going to crush all of these spices. And for medicine purposes, you're not allowed to. That's why the rabbanim are not allowed to take any medicine on Shabbos. So it comes along Shmuel and Taka says, no, I'll do that either. So Rav says, you don't prevent someone from using hot water and oil from pouring it on a wound on Shabbos, placing it on a wound. Shmuel Oman, no, you're not allowed to because it looks like medicine and it comes under the umbrella of Shechikah Salamonim. But Noisin Chutz L'makah, you can apply it on your body where there's no wound and then if it trickles down, V'sheises V'yoyin L'makah, it trickles down towards your wound. Basically, that's a question. Ain't noisin shemen the chamin agabe moich. You're not allowed to place hot water and oil into a cloth. Litin agabe makke b'shab, place it on the wound on Shabbos. Isn't that a kasha? And Rav. Rav said you're allowed to put it directly. So the Gemara answers, there the issue is not the medicine. Hasam mishum schita. There the issue is you're putting the hot water and the oil on the band-aid. We're scared that if you're going to put it on the band-aid, you're going to squeeze the band-aid. Nothing to do with looks like medicine. Different issue altogether. Toshma kamine ein noisin chamin v'shom yamosh v'gav maki. You don't place it on the band-aid on the wound b'Shabbos. Okay, so again, nothing to do with the case of medicine. Hasam nami v'shom schita. The problem is squeezing. Tanya kavos v'shmur. Look like Shmur. Ein noisin chamin v'shom agabi maki b'Shabbos. Look like Shmur. You don't place hot water and oil on a wound on Shabbos. Avon noisin chutz lemaka. You place it outside the wound. V'shoises v'yoyde lemaka, and then it trickles down to the wound. So this supports Shmuel. Torah Rabbah learned noisin al gabe maka. You can place on the wound moich yavish, a dry piece of material, and the v'svoig yavish and a dry sponge. you ought to put these things on your wound on Shabbos, avaloi gummy yavesh, but not gummy, which literally means rubber, so like reeds or other things, and the like tissue yavesh, nor material that is very dry. So l'chayit, it seems to contradict itself. Says the Gemara, yavesh kashya ketisin aktisin. You started off saying you're allowed to put a dry meich on your on your wound. A dry moich is basically cotton or material, which is the same thing as ketisin, dry pieces of material. So yet you start off saying you're allowed to, and then you finish off saying, but don't. Like kasha. If it's brand new, that they never used their wound before, so then it has these healing things, then don't do it. But old ones you could put on it. So why would you put it on? Because there's two parts here. One is you want it to heal the wound. The other one is you want it to prevent it from being infected. Or you don't want it to rub against things. And therefore, if you want to just put it on there, you shouldn't get infected. Or it shouldn't rub against things and get scratched like you're allowed to. It's not a medicine thing. But if you're doing it so that it should cure, it should heal and close up faster, that you're not allowed to do. Omar Abayish, Ma'amino, Hani Ketisin Mosi, brand new piece of material, not only prevent infections or prevent other damage, but rather it heals as well. Says the Gemara Safik Van Dreigenes, it says in Mishnah, if you had a Safik, what's a Safik? There's two ways of learning Pshat in Safik. The Rashi learns Safik means we're not sure if it's an eight-month-old baby or a 7 or 9 month. And we learned in our Gemara that a 7 month baby can survive, because it reached a certain point and it's good. A 9 month baby is for maturity, but an 8 month baby started to develop the next stage, but it's incomplete. And in those days, it was very, very dangerous. Teisha already says in a few places that Nishtano Hativinam, our biology changed, and this thing therefore doesn't apply anymore. But in those days, an 8 month old baby was like a dead baby. So therefore, you're not allowed to mala an 8 month old baby on Shabbos because the baby is not going to survive. There's no head to mala. It's a mala. And Rashi later on will ask, if so, who cares if you mala? All you're doing is cutting a piece of meat. We'll see later. That's one way of learning suffering. But others learn suffering means you're not sure, like Rabbi Akiva Eiger learns in the Mishnayis, you're not sure if it's Bein HaShmashas, so you're not sure which day he was born. If it's Friday, Bein HaShmashas, you cannot circumcise on Shabbos, as we'll see later in the Gemara, the Mishnah following, because maybe he was born on Friday, so you have no right to circumcise on Shabbos. That's suffering. And then you have Andreinus. Has both signs. Tell them we learned. So the Mishnah said that a Safik and an Andreginus, he cannot be Mechal Shabbos. But Rabbi Yehuda argues regarding Andreginus. The fact is he has a bris, doesn't matter, he also has a woman, female signs as well. What's the Mechalik? Tell them we learned, it says in Pasik, or Losoi, it says, Bayemesh meaning Yimopsar, or Losoi. Or Losoi, Vadai Dechiz a Shabbos. Only if it's a Or Losoi Vadai. I mean, what? But not if it's a suffix. Only if it's a vadei. But like suffix, doich is a Shabbos. A suffix is not doich is Shabbos. That's number one, because we don't know whether this child is going to survive. So therefore, it doesn't. It's not doich is Shabbos at all. You know, suffix maybe it will survive. It cannot doich is Shabbos. And loy andreig is doich is Shabbos. Nor can andreig be doich is Shabbos as well, because it's all lasoi. And Rashi here brings also another suffix of Bein HaShmashas, and so on. So the other suffix as well. But generally a suffix, any kind of a suffix, cannot be gemalot on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda says, he disagrees. He holds Andreginus doich is a Shabbos. Andreginus is doich is Shabbos. And V'onush Koros. And what? And he will even get Koros if he doesn't mal himself. Because he didn't mal himself. So what does it do with Allah? If it's born Bein HaShmashas, so you don't know if it's born on Friday or Shabbos, that's not Deich HaShabbos. But if it was already born Gemalit, then it's not Deich HaShabbos. And we'll discuss the whole braisa here, the Machleb Shammah Hill, tomorrow. So we'll stop right here and continue tomorrow with Hashem. We'll go over this last part.